Previously on Worlds Away.
This is a challenging predicament we're in.
I would agree.
No, Nasir, I can't kill them now.
I think I look him dead in the eyes.
And before you respond, and I see that look. No, take your war-tinted goggles off for just a second. Nasir, I'm not saying I want to kill them. I'm saying Nasir, in a situation where there is a hostage whose life is at stake here, I can't anymore. Because the Verge just heard you say that we were going to handle this non-violently.
I understand. And I apologize for taking moves off the table. We should loop in Charlie and Dr. Stone, and the Valiant should immediately head for the platform and begin preparations to stop the asteroid.
I think we need to get into the control room and start sabotaging the base a bit.
All right, my fingers are crossed. Oh, okay, big.
That is.
Big roll, baby.
A 13. Woo!
Hell yeah.
That's permanent advantage, right?
It is permanent advantage forever.
But you lose
on
one
a 13,
experience.
You see through the fabric of space time. No. On a 10 plus.
I get plus 4 alien?
Oh, I think it's been hit by a lesser asteroid. I think that, like, they're getting readings that, like, the facility has been breached by an incoming projectile.
Okay. And so I just want to have hacked the system so that the doors will lock.
Can I take an attempt at the technobabble?
Oh my god, set me up.
I think given the test system, you had to override the system's natural redundancies to trick the system by setting up a scarecrow protocol so that assumed that this was a real threat and not a false threat.
That was such a fucking good political thriller. Like title.
I think we just cut
Scarecrow protocol.
Nasir explaining to like Arno exactly how I did it, because that was phenomenal.
I think you see a vac suit in this room, and it's one that appears to be designed for use on this planet. Like the joints look reinforced, everything looks a lot more rugged, I guess I'll put it that way, in terms of the exterior of the suit itself. And I think as a consequence of that, you can tell that these suits are tailor fit for the people they're intended for. And you go and look at the back of the collar, and there is a name tag on it to sort of distinguish it. And that name tag says H. Ray.
I think probably right now I want to scope it out.
Okay.
So I'll do that. Oh, that's a 6.
All right.
It's a big old fail.
Nasir, we got a bit of a problem up here. The only craft it's accepting to dock are the automated shuttles. We could try to cut through the hole, force our way in, but I don't think that we have time, especially if we have to solve this engine problem as well.
We need to get someone up to the orbital platform immediately.
If we act quickly, we can disarm these folks and take a round of hostages up with us.
Then we need to move quickly.
Leela, in the kitchen, you are sort of hugging the walls and crouched underneath some low shelves. And do I understand that you're still wearing the vac suit? You didn't take it off, is that correct?
No, I didn't.
I think one of the things about the vac suit, and I probably should have even had you roll with this, is it has the clumsy tag on it. And I think that makes it harder to move stealthily, I'll put it that way. And what I think happens is you're trying to hug the wall, and I think the edge of your suit catches on a piece of cookware that is on the edge of a shelf in this kitchen. And right as you reach near the window, so sort of the shelves in front of the window, you knock it off, and this sets off a kind of chain reaction where maybe it's like a plate, but then also a couple of metal pans and sort of whatever the cookware of the future is, falls and hits the ground with a loud noise. And I think you hear, "What the hell was that?" And two people jump up from chairs in the other room.
I think I immediately send a message to Arno and Nasir. We're compromised. They're engaging.
I'm going to go ahead and use my move Adrenaline Rush.
Okay.
I would like to run through that side door as quickly as possible. When you flood your system with adrenaline in a tense or dangerous situation, discharge this move and roll plus stalwart on 10 plus, hold 2 on 7 and 9, hold 1. While you're in danger, you may spend one hold for one of the following. And I'll read that after I roll plus stalwart, if that's all right.
Yep, so go ahead and roll and discharge, and we'll see what happens.
That's a 9. I'll take that.
Okay.
All right. So on a 7 to 9, you can hold 1, and while you're in danger, you can spend the hold 1 for 1 on the list, and that is ignore any negative effects or modifiers caused by harm you have marked. I don't think you have any harm right now. I could be wrong on that.
Nope.
I'm good. You can perform an incredible athletic feat, or you can add your volatile modifier to the harm you deal for one attack.
Okay, so I take out the tube. I spin my hand, flip the cap off. I run into the room as fast as possible, and I want to find either one of the two known, like anyone that looks like they're holding the hostages. Do you want me to describe what I'm trying to do with this move as well?
I think I have an idea. I do think there's going to have to be one other role involved in this.
That's fine.
But I think I know. Go ahead and say it.
I would like to get the paste on either their chest or back and slam them on the floor. I want to immobilize them entirely. I want to bond them to the floor.
Oh, my God.
Lauren, you were going to say something possibly more sane, but I love it.
I know that there's like two entrances to the kitchen, right? And I don't know if I can like hear their footsteps or determine what door they're trying to go to, but I want to try to like brace the door.
Yeah. I mean, I think
like leave them exposed in the hallway.
Yeah. I mean, there's kind of like really there's three entrances, right? There's the door that's in between the kitchen and the mess, right? There's the outer door that you came in through, and then there's the window, which is not a door, but somebody could, you know, do the old press X to climb over move, right?
Yeah.
But what you hear is they're moving toward the wall that separates the kitchen and the
mess. They're just trying to look in, they're inside not running the mess. Out. Oh, okay, all right.
So either they're trying to go through that door or they're trying to look in through the sort of window. So I think that those are the risk points right now that you're detecting.
In that case, if I can like hear their footsteps, I think I'd rather just try to like hide and get out of that line of sight.
Okay.
And that's the move I'm trying to make in this scenario.
So Arno, I think we see you running to the door. I want to kind of resolve Mara's move first. And then Haley, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to say, I feel like this might be the time to activate my tactical cloak.
Okay. I think I want to hold off on that for a second because you already just rolled and I want to kind of get people in some order. Nasir, are you doing anything right now or are you just kind of following Arno? What's your game plan?
I mean, I think Arno just sort of charged through the door towards the two people.
He just charged out of the room. What you see is him charge out of the room that you're in right now, which is the storage room.
Yeah, I think I'm going to follow him, especially given that they're compromised. I think when I get into the room, I'm looking for hostages, right? Like, I'm trying to scope out the room.
Okay.
Right? Like, I'm trying to assess the situation. By the time I make it into the room, Arno has tackled these people, and I want to know what the fuck's going on. I'm also, more importantly, looking for Ray.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to get to that. So, Lauren, let me resolve you, and then we're going to do Arno and Nasir in that order. So, if you're trying to hide, I think that's act quick, so go ahead and roll plus slick, unless you have another move.
No. I'm not cool. Oh. And I have disadvantage, just to be clear.
Oh, shit. You do.
Oh, this is good.
I don't like that from you. Okay.
That's good. It's
how low can you go? Okay, that's a 3 5 is an 8 plus 1 is a 9. So that is a mixed success.
That's pretty freaking good.
Okay.
I think that not only that, I'm going to give you, I'll say that you can kind of like drag Leela back with you too.
Okay.
And kind of like get undercover. Were you going to add something? Sorry, I don't want to dictate here.
Well, so like you said a better thing and that like I'm like doing something good for my comrade. I was actually going to try to grab like a pan, like a frying pan.
Oh yeah. I think you can do that too.
Or something. Like, I don't want to be greedy here. It was a 9, not like a 10, but...
I mean, I think it's a frying pan because I think that looks more fun than the knife, frankly. But yeah. I don't think, like, mechanically it's going to make a difference. It's kind of an improvised weapon, whatever it is.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I think you grab that. I think you kind of, like, grab Leela and kind of help slide her out of a space that would be exposed if somebody looked through the window or came in through the door. You do have to pick one from the list, and that's either you're off balance or rushed and again have disadvantage going forward. You've left something behind, I'll tell you what, or you suffer a stress because you're pushed to your limits.
I'll take a stress. I only have one stress. I'll take another stress.
Okay. It does sound stressful if you ask me.
Yeah, so, that was, fair.
So, Arno, you bust through the door, and I'm going to describe what happens, but Nasir, I want you to go and roll scope it out first.
Uh-oh.
You got it, my dude.
John, can I use my scanner, like my sort of advanced Google Glass, to do facial recognition as I'm scanning the crowd to find Ray?
Ooh. I think that could work. All right, let me just hold on. Let me look at the scanner really quick and see what it says.
It says, when you scan a strange environment, organism, or device, expend a use to have advantage on scope it out. And I definitely,
I mean, we're stretching, slots. We're stretching strange organism. I think
environment, it's a different room.
I don't know if that makes. I'll allow it. This is, you're on thin ice. Do you have a gear slot for that? Is that correct?
Oh, I had three.
Oh, you
gear
took,
slots
you took the extra it? Gear slot.
Yeah, I had three left.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So yeah, go ahead and mark off another use. I think you only have one use left then.
This is my first use of the scanner.
Oh,
I thought you used it on the, in the tunnels for some reason.
But,
that's fair. I remember. I just don't remember if that
was aesthetic.
Maybe
that was just for flavor. I don't remember. By the way, that's fine.
I marked off a use. It's totally fine. I'm not worried about it.
So go ahead and roll with advantage.
So that's a 4, a 3, and a 2, which is a 7 with advantage.
Woo.
All right. So that works. And with a mixed success, you get one question from the scope it out list.
I guess the question is, what is my enemy's true position? Like, I'm looking for Ray, right? Like, that's what I...
Oh, I see.
Or maybe more accurately would be like, who or what here could be a useful opportunity.
There's also who or what here is not what they seem in the
sense
of...
That's the one I was thinking about.
Who's the hostage and who's not, right?
How could I best end this quickly?
Any question.
Well, go ahead and ask the question.
Or what here, let's go ahead and say who or what here is not what they seem.
Okay, and that's with a specific focus on, you said trying to find Ray, but maybe the identities of the other people in this room. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Before I describe what goes on next, do you have the video feed to Danica Stone still on, or have you deactivated that as well?
I do not have my vac suit on, nor do I have a camera in my vac suit.
What about Arno? I think we described Arno as being the one like kind of transmitting before, so I'll leave it up to him.
Yeah, I've had the vac suit on the whole time.
And you still are transmitting video back to Danica Stone?
Yeah, I still am.
Okay.
All right. Oh, actually, wait. No, I would have stopped after she tried to get off the ship. Excuse me.
Okay. So you think you did deactivate that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing is, we just don't trust Danica Stone because she lies to us and doesn't do what we say.
Yeah.
Like, that's if you're just a civilian doctor who's going to, like, require us to roll three times to stop you from getting off our ship, you just don't get have trust. You don't have trust privileges.
I think there's only one role involved in all that, if we're being fair here.
The 7 roles we did to keep her chained down.
So, Arno, you used adrenaline rush, and I think that you have to, that what that means is you are making split second decisions and trying to go as fast as possible before anyone can react. And I think you kind of, in the maybe like 2.1 seconds that it takes you to get from the storage room through the door into the mess area, you've already kind of pre-calculated the routes using the sensor data, and you know where the two dots that were moving toward the kitchen are. You have that kind of pulled up, and in your mind, you already are like, you know, this is the thought palace calculating the routes to the two different people. And what I think you see when you open the door is two people standing with their backs facing you. One of them has tan skin and long dark brown hair, and the other has very dark brown skin and hair tied back into a bun behind her head. And you see on her hip a holster.
Do I see a holster on the first one by any chance?
No.
Okay, I'm going to go for the one with the holster if that's the case.
Okay. I think maybe she turns around to face you and you go and like spray the AB paste and then kind of body slam her to the ground, and she appears to be adhesed to the floor, if that is a word.
Adhered.
Adhered.
No, no, no. The first one was perfect.
Flawless. No notes.
Yeah.
This has been an ongoing thing.
Nasir, you dart into the room afterwards. And the first thing that strikes you is there are only three people in the room, not counting yourself. And one of them is Arno.
So, where the fuck are the hostages?
You get a reading on the person on the ground. And maybe, again, it's kind of like you're seeing the almost wireframe, like cross-hatching of the face as it's denoting points of interest. And you see the name Zara Barnes pop up on your display, and it cross-checks that as a botanist who is assigned to Kairos 5. The other person then turns around and her eyes go wide, and she kind of is like holding her hands up slightly, and you see that that is Eliza Stone.
Killer.
Fascinating.
You said that there are three people in the room counting me or not counting me?
Counting you. So four okay. people total, including Nasir.
Miss Stone, I suggest you start explaining yourself. I think also after I say that, I'll send a message, a text message to the Valiant, specifically to Captain Alba and Charlie, that says detain Dr. Stone immediately.
Huh. Oh, interesting. Okay. I think what happens is, and maybe I don't know if this changes your reaction, but before you do that, I think you see her kind of like crumple to the ground and like start kind of sobbing and say, "They were going to kill me. They were going to kill me."
I respond, "Where's Adam?"
I think she doesn't respond to you.
Who was going to kill you and what are you doing here?
I think at this point, I just want to name that. I won't speak for Leela, but Mara wants to, once she hears there's not like an active firefight going on, she wants to enter, like walk out through the door and enter the mess from the kitchen.
Same.
I think she responds to you and gestures toward the woman who's now essentially glued to the floor and says, "The FIV, these people that took over the base."
I want to put a reassuring hand on her shoulder. I want to make eye contact. And I just want to say, "Dr. Stone, why did the FIV leave you with communications on the base?"
Ooh. I didn't think you have to roll for this. I think what happens is... And did you, like, take the gun away from...
Glue Girl?
I think I tried to, like, I think I tried to kick it away or, like, move it away or
okay,
something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. I think you kicked it and it slid back toward the... It's almost, like, kind of below the... window of the kitchen now, like the window in between the kitchen and the mess.
Yeah.
I think what happens is the woman on the ground, Zara, kind of grunts. And I think she says, "Just give it up, Ellie. It's over."
I think Mara wants to walk over and she's going to address either of them. And she's going to say, "Where are the other hostages? Tell us and we will let you live."
I think Arno's a little surprised to hear that. I go for
Nasir has a light bulb moment and he's like, I think he might actually suggest, like,
yeah,
are they on the shuttle?
And Mara's studying their faces when Nasir offers that information.
I think Eliza gets a sort of desperate and concerned look. I think you see Zara just nod her head to confirm that that's correct, Nasir.
Who else is on the shuttle with them?
Zara responds, "No one, just them."
Were any of them in on it?
None of the ones on the shuttle. We knew we couldn't count on them.
I look over at Dr. Stone and your sister.
She shakes her head and just says, "She told me this was what was going to happen anyway, that interfering, that's what would have been unethical."
Well, she's aware now, Doctor. Luckily for you, if I'm understanding you correctly, there are no lives in danger in this facility other than ours.
She nods, yes.
When she nods, good. Then we are going to need your help to access the orbital platform.
She gets a kind of confused look on her face and says, what do you mean?
Dr. Stone, for better or for worse, you forced our hand, and the Verge expects that we're going to save that planet. Whatever happens to you, we can figure out later, but I don't want to start making liars of the Minerva Project now. Where's Leela in all this? Is she, like, still under some cookware?
Yeah, does anyone else kind of say anything or react to this at that point?
So I think Mara will raise a brow to Arno's suggestion and say, they have no leverage over us. We could take them all off the planet right now. Why do they deserve to get what they wanted by threatening these people's lives?
They wanted more than just stopping the asteroid. They wanted a colony. We don't have to give them that.
I think when you say that, Leela, you see Dr. Stone and Eliza Stone kind of shake her head. And then you hear from the floor Zara say, if we wanted people to take us seriously, we had to make it political somehow. Make it about Aventine or The Verge, whatever. If the only thing that we had asked for was stopping the asteroid, you would have seen through that. We couldn't just stand by and let this happen, not when we had the power to stop it. Just because the harm is done by our inaction instead of our action doesn't mean we're not responsible.
Did you petition the Republic to save the facility and the planet?
Of course we did. They said that interfering was the wrong thing to do.
And so you created a hostage situation, mobilized the Republic to take action, not knowing if the fleet was going to intercept, not knowing if this was going to turn into a violent situation, not knowing that there were people in The Verge who cared very deeply about the safety of these scientists, and more importantly, those who would feel motivated to follow suit in your actions and take their own hostages and put others in danger.
Congratulations, you've just created a terrorist organization.
I think Dr. Stone replies and says, we knew the risks to ourselves, and we always planned to turn ourselves in after this was over.
Dr. Stone, I think the best course of action is to give you exactly what you asked for. Let's start with the asteroid.
I think Mara stands up and says, no, we won't. If we give them exactly what they want, all we'll do is inspire more radicals.
Dr. Belova, humanity can't survive alone in The Verge. That includes them. What better case for the Minerva Project than humanity appearing to go out on its own and failing? We are stronger together, and they're going to make that point for us.
For what it's worth, I announced to the entire Verge that we would be stopping the asteroid. If we're shown to be dishonest, they've already created a terrorist organization. Their flag and their symbol has been seen on every planet in the system. We can't stop those dominoes.
But we can make it fail.
I also want to name, and I mean this with all due respect, Doctor, fuck these people. I want to decide for us, for humanity, what we do about this asteroid. The political ramifications of this are unpredictable in every direction. To say we understand what's going to happen isn't true. I just think we should stop the asteroid. And frankly, I think Arno's right. We can make an example of these people by showing they need the rest of humanity in order to survive. They're not going to be able to last on this planet on their own.
They don't want to last. They just want it to not go through an extinction-like event. They don't care about any of the morals that they espoused, any of the radical ideologies. They just want this place to live. If we give them what they want, all we're doing is inspiring copycats.
So hearing what Mara said, I think Leela's going to turn to Dr. Stone and to Zara and ask, what was your end game? Tell me, how did you see this playing out? You avow to be terrorists, you get us to divert the asteroid, and then you turn yourselves in. What happens to the planet? What happens to your studies? Did you really think your life would just go on after this?
We knew there would be consequences, but compared to trillions of lives on this planet, how could that not be worth it?
Right, but what's going to happen to this planet without you?
What happened to this planet in the billions of years of its existence before we got here?
More than likely, multiple mass extinction events.
I turn to the three other members of the Minerva Project. We need to decide what the Minerva Project stands for. We either stand for the ideals of the Republic and stay in line with what the Republic wants, or we decide we stand for life and destroy the asteroid, or we find a way to thread the needle by pulling one over on the Evelyn Lee administration with the help of our terrorist friends. But I think it's clear that no matter what happens, the rest of the Verge will know we were here and we made a public statement as a distraction. And I don't think we'll be able to shy away from the fact that we took aggressive action. So the question that remains is, do we destroy the asteroid? I think we can handle political implications either way.
If we choose to destroy the asteroid, then perhaps we can count on the cooperation of our terrorist friends to massage the story.
We could very easily say we came in peacefully and negotiated the release of the hostages.
You're putting a lot of faith in liars.
They got us to take action.
We're giving them what they want. We could easily make things worse for them if they don't go along with our story.
Do you want to save the planet? And I'm looking directly at Mara.
I'm genuinely not trying to be pedantic, but I just don't agree with the word save. It would save life as it is right now. And then in a year, in 5 years, in 20 years, this is the way life works. Right now, choosing to save this planet just means that we got fooled, and for some reason we went ahead and acquiesced to the fool's demands.
I'm not talking about the political implications. Do you want to stop the asteroid and save the current life on this planet?
No.
If this were Earth...
No.
If this were Earth, there'd be no question.
Because we have the capability.
If we can't make this decision to save the life here, how can we expect anyone to act to save us?
We don't even know how many mass extinction events there were on Earth before our society developed. Who knows how many need to happen here before this planet can decide to save itself?
We are treating these creatures as though they don't deserve our help because they can't help themselves. To someone else out there, we don't deserve help either. I think Leela's going to have a hard look on her face, and I actually think I'm going to invoke one of my hooks here. A strange vision has left an impression on me. When challenged, I react poorly. I think right now Leela is equating the fate of this planet with the fate of humanity, and she's not going to be easily swayed. So I think she's going to continue and say, if we don't act when we have the power to, then what good is any of this? And then I think she's going to turn around and walk out of the mess.
Looking at Mara, they said that Earth denied them the ability to save this planet because interfering would be unethical. Do you believe that?
I think she looks straight at you, and her face is, like, expressionless. And she says, is death unethical?
I think death is a fact of the universe. And so is the fact that we have the ability to change outcomes.
We have the ability to delay outcomes.
Is that what you said when they told you it was impossible to grow crops on other planets?
Whew! Do you see any Genesynth crops here?
I think there's a weird smile on my face. I'm like, well, I suppose if it's too difficult for you, Doctor, there's always easier planets.
That don't have asteroids hurtling towards them.
I love that we're having a moment in the middle of a tense fight.
Yeah, I see your moment. I'm kind of here. There's somebody glued to the floor. There's somebody sitting against the wall, presumably. Yeah. And I think
Vila left, to be clear.
We know. You stormed out. No, you stormed out. Of course you did.
That's why there's a cute moment happening.
Right. You cast your vote, but there's still a majority here.
Quorum.
We have a quorum.
Oh, no. What have I done?
This here. Actions have consequences, and no action on our part is making a decision. But the same way that removing predators from an ecosystem causes population explosions and famine within those ecosystems, our interference here might have consequences beyond our understanding. This is the first time that we've been able to observe and interfere, but it's also the first time we've been able to observe and see how this ecosystem repairs itself. We don't know what's going to come from it. We don't know if this planet, if this environment isn't going to become stronger as a result of this.
We also didn't know what would happen when we introduced man-made plants to ecosystems across the Verge and colonized them with our species.
We did know. Man would be able to eat.
What I'm saying is that we have already left an undeniable print in the Verge. We get to decide if we want to do this. That's all I'm saying. And I think the idea that moral certainty exists is a joke. Moral certainty actually is less knowable than political certainty in this case. And political certainty is pretty unknowable.
Okay. I appreciate you trying on my shoes and arguing for life. Now I'll try on yours. The political ramifications of bumbling into this situation, theoretically guns blazing, a tactical strike force, us, the Minerva Project, and then acquiescing to the demands of these not terrorists doesn't look very great.
No, it doesn't. In fact, I would say it looks weak.
And simultaneously bloodthirsty as well.
We do manage a perfect unity there.
I think when you say that, actually, Eliza Stone kind of like pleadingly says, nobody has to know you came in here. We can keep that secret.
I will be petitioning your alma mater for the removal of your doctorate.
That is like the greatest. That was such a Hermione Granger moment. Like, the worst thing that could, you know, we could die or worse, be expelled.
I'm pulling your shit.
I think she doesn't respond, but I think she just kind of has like a puzzled look on her face at that response. But she does. I think she gets the message.
You've set into motion things that can't be unwound. Now we have to clean up. And we will, on our terms this time.
What are our terms?
Isn't that what we're discussing?
If we decide not to stop the asteroid, we can argue that we came in, subdued an eco-terrorist group, and were able to make it off the planet with zero casualties.
Strong hand.
It's a bit bloodthirsty for my taste, but it is a strong hand. How does everyone vote? I think we know how Miss Malik votes.
I say don't stop it, but I'm not an enemy of chaos. If we can make it to the orbital station and somehow rig it to destroy the asteroid, I won't stop you. I just think it's dumb.
Which is the worst thing for Mara.
I would like to invoke my hook. God, this would be funnier if I had it on hand. Solving the big problems is the most important thing I can do. I won't let relationships with others stand in the way.
I actually think I'm going to invoke one of my hooks.
Oh.
The fleet and its agents are moving for war. I must stop them at any cost.
Okay.
I think you're right, Doctor. I think it is a stronger hand. I vote we don't stop the asteroid.
Oh.
War must be stopped at any cost. And that includes a show of force.
I think Mara walks over to him and puts her hand on his shoulder, like the one with the constellation on it. Life will go on here. And it will transform. It always does. Lieutenant Hines, how do you vote?
What do we do if Arno says he sides with me? Then we're tied.
That's true. That would be very fun. What would we do if it's tied? I kind of
Just FYI, we still have to roll for it.
I think I just want to give a very Arno answer. I'm just trying to think of what that Arno answer is in the moment you've caught him in a transformational state of being. So I think I'll give you
mid-Arnomorphosis.
Yeah, something like that. Philosophy is great and all, but the people who give us any of our authority want us to let this asteroid hit. I'm all for bucking orders, but you got to give me a useful reason to do it, and right now I don't have one. I say we let it hit. Maybe somebody else out there can save this planet. I don't see why we have to.
Oh, shit, I love it.
So where did Leela go when she walked out of the room?
Is there a spot in the research facility where you can get, like, a view of the landscape or something like that?
I think on the sky bridge, I mentioned those windows that overlooked the valley that you passed through.
And is the sky bridge still accessible to us? Because we closed the doors on the far side of the sky bridge.
I think that's right.
Okay. So, yeah, I think Leela, after exiting the mess, she maybe walks around for a minute, but then finds herself gravitating towards the sky bridge. And obviously, when we went through it previously, we were rushing. So I think she kind of wanders over to one of the walls where you can kind of see out for miles. And I kind of see her as maybe there is like a railing on the side. And I think she's just going to put both hands on the railing and be looking out in the distance.
And is there anything particular you're looking for?
I think she's looking out, just looking for any sign of motion or of life. You know, maybe she spots a couple of Wyvir flying around, and then also some of those grazing creatures.
So I think maybe you're focused in the distance, and because of that, are not fully focused. But I think maybe you turn and you're not really like processing when you turn. But the door to the other side of the facility slides open. And you see three people standing there, one of whom matches the description of Hank Ray that you received earlier.
Oh.
And I think they see you. And I want to know how you react in that split second.
It's 3-1. Not the best odds. I think Leela is going to pull out her tactical cloak, try to activate it, and run as fast as she can out the other side of the sky bridge.
Oh,
trying to get out of sight.
All right, so go ahead and roll act quick, and you can do it with advantage.
All right, I will need that advantage.
Ooh.
That is a 9.
All right, so on a 9, you succeed at what you want to do, but you have to choose one from the list. And that's you're off balance or rushed and have disadvantage going forward. You left something behind, I'll tell you what, or you push your limits and you suffer stress.
I think I'm going to choose a disadvantage. I think Leela is taken by surprise and is definitely barely able to react.
It does sound like you're off balance or rushed. And are you heading straight toward the door to the mass area where the rest of the party is?
I think so, because I don't think Leela has really, like, she didn't go into the storage room. I don't think she's really done much exploring. I think she took a quick circuit, but yeah, I think she's headed back for the mess.
Okay. So what I think happens is you're running down the hallway. You put the cloak on, you kind of shimmer out, and you run down the hallway full sprint. I think you're about to reach the door and you're hearing distant words behind you, like something like stop, right? and you're able to open the door and enter the room. I think the three of you just, whatever the last line was in the conversation before we cut away, that was what was just delivered. And I think that you turn around and see this kind of shimmering figure move through the doorway, and then Leela, presumably you take off the tactical cloak. What do you say?
I think she's breathless, and even before she's actually pulled off the tactical cloak, she says, "It's Ray and the others. They made it back. They're just behind me."
I look down at Dr. Stone. Are you going to call them off, or do I need to beat them up?
I think she doesn't do anything. I think she just stands there stoically when you say that. I think having heard you say the vote out loud.
I'm going to stand up. I'm going to look at her, and I'm going to say, "The only two weapons I have are a shotgun and a glue. You better hope the glue is enough." And I start to walk towards the door.
Mara brandishes her frying pan.
Okay. I think you do all that. And what I think happens next is you see a figure kind of round the corner. And it appears from their appearance that it is Hank Ray. He actually has his hands up as if he's surrendering. And I think that as you're focused on the door, though, you hear something behind you. And that is Eliza Stone diving for the gun.
Oh, I swing at her.
With the frying pan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd also like to go for the gun at the same time.
Okay.
First you, though.
So, Mara, I want you to go and roll firefight.
And that's volatile, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to roll with disadvantage because I, like, jokingly, but seriously invoked my hook back there.
Yeah.
And that's a plus zero. So I wonder how badly I'm going to fail this.
Hey, experience. Let's go.
Okay. That's a 4 and a 2. So just barely I'm going to fail this.
Okay. So go ahead and mark XP.
Whee!
Here's what I think happens, though. Nasir, I mean, you might like want to change your tactic because of what happens next, but I'll allow you to still say what you're going to do, but I just want to narrate the consequence of the fail first.
Yep.
And that is, Mar, you go and you go to swing for her, but she's faster, and you get like only air with your frying pan swing. She grabs the gun and actually points it at the head of Dr. Barnes. And I think when she does that, you actually hear Hank Ray standing in the door say, "Ellie, stop. What are you doing?" And then she says, "There's no time for this. Call your ship and tell them to destroy the asteroid right now."
Dr. Stone, before you do what you do, is there anything you want me to tell your sister?
Oof.
What are you getting at with that?
I want her to think for a second that, like, if she pulls the trigger, I'm going to do something and she might not survive.
He's threatening her.
Yeah.
Roll plus volatile.
That's an intimidate. Ooh.
That's a 10.
That's all a good right. intimidation.
Because it's a 10, can I add some flourish to that?
Sure.
Not to the statement. The statement's done. What I'm doing as I say that.
Sure. Does Arno ever need more flourish? That's the question I ask myself.
Like, this man cook, goddamn.
I think I stand upright. I don't break eye contact. I don't even need to look at it because I just pull the shotgun out and I let a shell into the chamber and I calmly start to point my body in her direction.
I think what happens is you don't get any reaction from her, but I think you see Hank Ray shake his head and he just calmly walks up to her despite this happening and then lifts the gun out of her hand and hands it to you, Arno.
I'll take it.
And when you open the gun, you take it. I think you instinctively remove the clip and it's completely unloaded.
Hey everyone, it's Mo. Thank you so much for listening to Worlds Away. This game has been a blast to play and it has been wonderful to get to share the story with you. If you're enjoying Worlds Away so far, you can help us out by spreading the word to friends and family. And if they are starting to get annoyed with the fact that you keep talking about us, that's okay. That means you're doing it right. You can also support us by giving us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform where you listen to podcasts. And if you want to give us a shout out on social media, you can find us on most platforms at Worlds Away Pod or online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the episode.
So I think we kind of get a montage of shots after this. I think maybe we see the Valiant kind of moving away from the orbital platform and actually recovering the other shuttle and rescuing the 33 people who are trapped on that. And I think we see the four of you taking the five members of the FIV, or the five researchers on this planet, into custody and bringing them back on board the ship. The next scenes I want to play out are back on the Valiant as we see the planet growing smaller in the background and as you move out of orbit and prepare for the jump back to Ascension Station. As we see this, what are the four of you doing on the ship?
I think Arno and I are probably in the wardroom having a conversation.
What about Mara and Leela?
Mara is in the lab doing some data analysis. And some life analysis.
Lab things.
I think Leela is going to be taking a moment to herself as well.
Really, what we analyze in the lab is ourselves.
That's just pain. Not true.
It's pain.
So maybe what I want to start with is Mara and Leela. And I think maybe we kind of see it in the TV version of this, in the montage. We're kind of getting cuts back and forth between those two very different but kind of paralleled sequences. So, Mara, like, what are we seeing in the lab as you're looking at the data?
So, Mara is kind of uploading the information from the flavor scanning that she did as we navigated through the caves. That's running in the background. But I think she's pulled out her copy of On the Origin of Species. And she's not reading it. She's holding a picture that she keeps as a bookmark. And it's a picture of her when she's about like 16. And her uncle is standing next to her, the one we met in the flashback eons ago, feels like. And behind them is, again, the plane that we described. She's actually not looking at the front of the picture. She's looking at the back, where there's a handwritten quote: "Death is a debt to nature, which I have paid, and so must you."
And what do we see for Leela during this time?
I think Leela is also in some ways going over the data from the mission. I think she's pulling up video from the caves and all the different life forms that we encountered. And I think what she's doing is she's putting together kind of it's like an obituary, I guess, a eulogy maybe. And so I think she's taking each of the species that we encountered and she's sketching out an image, but she's also writing a description of what we experienced and what she noticed, but also, you know, just a general overview of the species from like the research that the folks at the lab would have done, and maybe pulling from their files a little bit. But I think she's basically, yeah, creating like a summary of all of the life that she knows to exist on this planet that will likely not survive this asteroid.
So I think we see those two scenes play out. And then I want to cut to Arno and Asir in the boardroom. And I think that we had mentioned the wardroom and the sort of floor plan is in the aft of the ship. And I think there's sort of windows facing out the back. We had described it. And so I think we can see the planet, and maybe there's the star and the system sort of off to the side, but we can see the planet growing smaller in the background. what do we see as we cut to this room in terms of where do we find Nasir and Arno?
So I think we're probably in the room very casually. I am probably just in the same like sleek outfit and tank top I was in the facility with like a blanket over my shoulders. And I think there's like up on the vid screens, you see like all of the different coverage about the mission, and we've got like sentiment analysis going. And I think like the reports I sent to Evelyn Lee and Director Green are probably like open on the slate, like just tossed casually on a coffee table or something. And I just turned to Arno. Things are getting more and more out of hand every day. I'm very worried that if we don't do something soon, we're not going to be able to get a handle on escalating tensions.
I think there's a couple of things that are a little different about this meeting in the wardroom with Nasir than usual. First, Arno would normally be in his slate preparing a bunch of reports. Right now, it's turned face down on the table because he's not reporting to Mendoza about what happened on the mission. The second is he's watching the screen intently, and instead of wearing the uniform, instead of wearing the fleet uniform, Arno's still wearing the Minerva Project jacket in the chair. And I think he looks over to Nasir and says, Nico Torres and the fleet were going to take a very drastic action, and we pulled them back very aggressively from the brink. I think a little bit of chaos is to be expected. We just haven't seen how the dust has settled yet. Once it does, we'll have an idea of how to move forward.
This mission made it very clear to me that although we have the Verge's support at this moment, that support is tenuous, and we could lose it at any time. I don't think we have time for the dust to settle. I think we need to strike while the iron is hot. And I think we have to call everyone together.
Like some kind of convergence? She said it!
God damn it.
Who do you think everyone is?
I think it means that we need to bring the Republic, Andreev Kasarik, and independent Verge counselors, and at the very least, Aiden Kyros.
Relieved to hear you say that.
You're surprised?
I've already told Miss Malik, and I'm trying to get comfortable with the truth of this. After our press conference on Ascension Station, I was informed that once this mission is concluded, I'll be kicked out of FSOC. I was relieved that you didn't include the fleet on your list, because I can't bring them to the table anymore.
I will stare deeply. Thank you for trusting me, Arno. And then I will go to the globe, and I will grab whatever is strongest, and I will pour us both a drink.
Good, 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 good.
I think Arno takes the glass and downs it in one go.
Fair enough.
Amazing.
He grew up on ships. This is nothing. The water's a choice.
I think Nasir mimics. I think I raise the glass first, like a toast, and then I down it.
So I think that happens, and maybe you set the glasses down on the table, and then I think you turn as you hear the door to the wardroom slide open, and you see Danica Stone. I think maybe you even double take for a second just because of how similar the two of them look, but you see that it's Danica Stone standing in the doorway. And I mean, it's clear that she has been like through the ringer and is looking really upset after the news was broken to her that this was all a ruse and that her sister was responsible for what happened. I think she says, I was hoping to find you to apologize for what happened. I loved her more than anything, and what did she do? She lied to me, lied to you, made us come here, put our lives at risk. I'll never forgive her for that.
I can't speak for the rest of the crew, but do you know why I wanted you to stay on the ship?
I know you thought I couldn't handle myself. I failed your test back on Ascension.
No. I mean, yes, that's an obvious reason and still true, but I thought you were pushing to get onto the ship for reasons we couldn't trust. It made sense that you should stay on board. It made sense that you should want to save your sister, but it also made sense that you couldn't help in that situation, and your persistence led me to believe that maybe you weren't trying to help. I'm not saying that to make you feel bad, Doctor. It's just, I think the perspective is valuable the next time that, and I hope there isn't a next time, but the next time you're in a dire situation like this and people need to play their part. You did, and I'm grateful, but it gave us a scare.
I think when you say that, she turns around, kind of paces, and maybe she puts her hand on top of the globe, and then she starts talking and then turns around as she's speaking. Have you ever had to act when one of your family was at risk?
I have.
Not family, but people I considered family.
And even if you weren't sure if it would help, you wouldn't want to be there to do anything you could?
I don't blame you for feeling that way. I just didn't think that you would blame us when we got back and things were over.
No, I don't blame you. And for what it's worth, she was wrong about all of this. He kind of looks out the window. What are we going to do? Roam the galaxy, finding planets we can fix that no one invited us to?
I don't know if we should, but maybe someone out there is.
I think Dr. Stone looks at you, Arno, and maybe for a second there's kind of a confused look on her face, but then her expression softens and she just kind of nods. I think you get the impression that maybe, well, she's not a believer in any sort of higher power, and I think that's probably the majority position at this point in our timeline. I think that she doesn't begrudge anyone who does, and I think she kind of just nods. But I want to know, does Nasir react in any way to this?
I never took you for a believer, Arno.
I think Arno completely misses the religious undertone here and just says, well, after talking to Leela, I've really come around on the possibility of life out there.
Well then, I suppose I need some lessons from Miss Malik on how to be more compelling.
John, is that the moment?
That's too on the nose.
I don't think that that's the moment, but I wonder what happens that makes Arno remember the indexing session.
I think the word compelling, as the words are coming out of Nasir's mouth, it almost slows down and echoes, and it's static for just a second.
Like, almost like you don't hear it?
No, like I only hear it and tune into the indexing session, and then I'm back. More like a record skip than anything else.
Is that the end of that scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just sort of rise and head to my room, which is right by the wardroom, honestly.
Yeah.
And you see me go to, like, my drawer shelf system right inside the door and pull out, like, a large black slate similar to one we've seen on my desk many times. And I set down on my desk a second terrarium, and I just start fiddling with my drawers and pulling things out, little vials of liquids, little gas tanks, bags of dirt, and sort of setting up the bottom of this terrarium. And I'm at it pretty meticulously. You see me, like, checking the dials. And after probably like an hour or two, you see me pull out a small, probably silver container that contains the sample from the planet's surface that I took inside the caves that our friend gave me.
So I think we see you placing it into the terrarium and sort of meticulously doing that. And I think the shot kind of pulls back from you so we can see the window in your cabin. And out the window, I think we see a dim flash from the edge of Kairos. And then a few seconds later, a small ripple spreads through the clouds, almost like a tiny pebble was dropped into a lake as the planet grows smaller and smaller in the night.